We see in the first reading, Daniel, this prophecy of Jesus coming. Obviously, that's who it's referring to. Jesus is king, like a son of man, for eternity. And then it's reinforced in each of the other readings, the Psalm, Revelation, and Gospel. And of course, in Revelation, we know Jesus will come again. And after World War I, when the war had caused great destruction throughout Europe, people were discouraged. The solemnity of today was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925. When he says, when once men recognize, both in private and in public life, that Christ is king, society will at last receive the great blessings of real liberty, well-ordered discipline, peace, and harmony. Do we have that today? I don't think so. We have all kinds of problems. You've probably heard about the opioid crisis, and I just read the other day that alcoholism is increasing and causing increased deaths in our culture. We have all this cyberbullying and this disrespect for authority in our country. Language, people are just nasty to each other, aren't they? We see this in the media all the time. We treat people badly. We see terrorism around the world and increasing violence. Well, there is a solution. That's why we're celebrating this solemnity. What kind of king is this, really, though? Because I don't know, when somebody says to me, oh, you want to be king of my life, what do we tend to think? This is not really a good thing, right? We tend to think somebody's telling us what to do all the time. We have to bow down and just do whatever they want us to do when they snap their fingers. But Jesus says his kingdom is not here. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it? What are we doing here? But remember, Paul clearly illustrates this in Corinthians in terms of this is a work in progress. Jesus came to establish his kingdom, but it's us, for us to complete that establishment. Because he clearly, when he was tempted, and we're going to be reading more about that, but when he is tempted by the devil, he doesn't tell the devil, hey, you have no power or authority. Adam and Eve, by listening to the devil, allowed him to have power in our world, in our lives. And he becomes the father of lies. So he has some power and will be influencing us if we let him, until Jesus comes again. And we see that in his word, he says, he came to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth, belongs to Jesus, listens to his voice. Jesus came to be a faithful witness as king. A witness of what? Of God's love. Because Jesus got on the cross for us, to show us that God does love us and to show us how we should live. And we see in the words that we have been made into priests for his kingdom. Well, we're not priests like those who are ordained. But in Vatican II, we had kind of lost that sense of who we are as a priestly people. Because of Jesus, because he is our king, if we let him be our king, that we also function in a priestly manner because we bring Jesus to other people. We bring the truth to the world. And we see it again in Revelation. Lest you doubt really who Jesus is, because people don't want to admit him as king, Lord, God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But he is a servant king. And we know this because what did he do? He died for us. He got on the cross. He didn't come to lord it over us. Unlike the kings of the world, we get to choose. Do you really want him to be king of your life? You get to make that choice. As is said in John, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Are you willing to give your life to Jesus? And you know, because it's a work in progress, it doesn't just snap your fingers, it happens, you say a few words. It's a choice we have to make every day. Because love means you get to choose. You can choose Jesus to be your king, or you can choose the devil and his lies or the worldly systems to be your king. You get to make that choice every single day. And you get to choose to listen to his truth and follow him, to be like him, to love like him, to listen to his voice rather than the myriad of voices out there, this cacophony of lots of voices trying to get your attention and pull you away from the true king. He is the faithful witness. And we, too, must work to become faithful witnesses. And remember, in the Passion, Pilate says, when asked about truth, says, oh, what is truth? We don't get to make it up. But our culture wants to rewrite science, everything else. So to understand truth and accept truth and to be witnesses, we have to approach Jesus with humility and openness, to let him work in our lives. We don't become good athletes or good at our jobs by just stepping in and saying a few words. It takes effort. And the obvious things we need to do is prayer. Start the day with prayer, end the day with prayer. And when you start, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to guide your actions, to give you the words to say, to show God's love, to bring the kingdom here as much as we can. And at night, it's good to ask, what did I do wrong? What did I fail to do that Jesus wants us to do, just as we do in confession? Read the readings every day. You don't have to necessarily do a Bible study, that's good, but at least read the readings every day and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand, to pull out the truths that the church and Jesus is trying to teach you. And if you go to the website, USCCB, it can give you some explanation so you get a better understanding. But be open. Read it with humility. Read it with the idea, Jesus, speak to me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. And when you have questions about what it means, go to the catechism. It's there for everybody to read. And then put your prayer in action. Don't just read the words. What is Jesus trying to tell you to do? Obviously, part of this is to bring the kingdom, is to serve others. That's what Jesus wants us to do. That's what he did. He came to serve us and participate regularly in the sacraments. You know, if you have doubts, we all have doubts at times. Remember in Scripture, I believe, help my unbelief. And regularly forgive others every day. If you're angry or upset with somebody, forgive, forgive, forgive. And by doing all this, we're admitting we do need Jesus in our life. We do want him to be king of our lives, a servant king. And we are recognizing that we are members of his kingdom, members of the body of Christ. And what that can bring us is an interior freedom, an interior peace. There may be chaos around us. We may be suffering. There may be a lot of bad things happening. But it can bring a peace to us that we wouldn't experience otherwise. Pope Benedict states, the way to reach this goal is long and admits of no shortcuts. Indeed, every person must freely accept the truth of God's love. He is love and truth, and neither love nor truth are imposed. They come knocking at the doors of the heart and the mind, and where they can enter, they bring peace and joy. This is how God reigns. This is his project of salvation, a mystery in the biblical sense of the word, a plan that is gradually revealed in history. So, all of you have been invited to be King's kids. And as we approach Advent, there are some things we can do concretely that witnesses God's love, brings the kingdom to those around us. And when you do the good things that you do, often it is said, well, actions speak louder than words. We need both. When you do those good things for Jesus, tell people why you do them. Kids, make a friend with somebody who's the lonely person who seems like they don't have any friends. Defend kids from others who are saying bad things about them or bullying them. Support ministry to unwed mothers, to orphans, to immigrants, to the homeless and the poor. Help a coworker who's maybe behind in their project. Just simple things that you can do every day that is bringing light and bringing the kingdom to the world. Bring fresh flowers, maybe to a relative you haven't seen for a long time. Make an effort to visit them if you haven't in a long time. Somebody who's homebound, bring them flowers, spend time with them. Pray for those who are lonely, suffering. Visit someone in the nursing home who has no family, especially. And take someone to church. With Christ involved, these little actions can change our society by changing individuals. So often we focus on changing institutions, especially going through the recent election and everything. But you know what really is going to change our culture is one person at a time, helping them to become part of the kingdom. That's how we're going to really change the culture and bring love and light to it. So as we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, let us ask for the grace to fully accept our mission and make it our deepest desire to make Jesus King of our lives. As we say the words and prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.